Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
Welcome to another edition of Lending Forward. We are super excited. It's almost like a reunion to have Dennis Giannotti here with us today. Mm-hmm. And Dennis, I guess we got to work together maybe a year and a half ago.
Years ago, that's right.
So yeah, great timing. It was probably on the backside of COVID, maybe. Mm-hmm. So it was. I remember that was a great event. Yeah. So yeah, excited to have you back here.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I know that you've done a lot, and to kind of tee it up, and we'll get into a lot of different things.
Sure.
But you've been in the personal and professional development since 1995.
Yes. Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah. we were talking before, kind of pre-show about getting some grays there. We both have them. So we've been at this for a bit. So you've done a lot of different things. You've been in a lot of different places. I know that you've worked with some great companies out there.
Yeah.
When you look back at those companies, like, are there any that really come to mind that, you know, bring back memories of, yeah, I've worked with them, I've helped them get here, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's funny stories and there's stories that are great like that. I could tell you that when you work with a company where it really works, right, where me showing up makes a difference, is when the intentions and the authenticity of the company are to help their people grow.
Right.
Because they know if their people grow, then their customers are going to be happy and feel seen and valued. And then that's what keeps the customers coming back. So it always starts at the top and filters down. That's what people are used to. But for the most part, people want to feel like they matter. They want to feel like they're important. And they want to feel like they're contributing in a part of something. And when they feel like that, then they're going to consistently show up.
Yeah. And, you know, and so I know that when people tune in, and we love all of our Lending Forward listeners that come on, I want to be, you're big on being intentional and very purposeful. So today I hope that our listeners take away that, you know, we're at, in our industry, we're always at those crossroads and you meet them at different times. And it's kind of, how am I going to drive forward? What am I going to do next? Mm-hmm. How do I stay engaged and motivated? So I definitely want to drill on that.
Yes.
But before we get to that, when you think of those companies that we talked about before, what's your favorite part about getting that phone call? So if your phone rings, and I hope that I'm in your favorite, you know, your favorites in your phone. So your phone rings and it's Bill Hitchcock or it's XYZ company that's calling you. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite part of that phone call that they're reaching out to you for something?
Yes.
How do you get excited about that?
Well, there are two elements to that. One, just the opportunity in and of itself. And you have to be excited about every opportunity, whether it works or it doesn't. That's what I always tell people. You should be excited about the chance, even if you don't get it. That's number one. But here's what really gets me excited. When I know the people at that company that I'm going to be working with, even though I'm coming in as a consultant, make me a member of the family, make me a member of the team.
Right.
There's that know, like, and trust that's there. You go there, you feel valued. You go there, you feel like they've got your back. And you're not just this one person show, in my case, that comes up and says, okay, I got to do everything. It's not like that when you go to the right places. That's the experience that I've had here, for example. I mean, do you need me to do something with
your
computer?
You're just saying that because I'm here.
Well, of course. No, I mean, seriously, the team was like, do you need this? How do you want this? What if we did this setup? Mm. I mean, all these questions just to get my input was fantastic. It made it feel like we were all on the same page, that we're working towards the betterment if everybody was coming. And it was less for me to worry about, which makes me be able to do my job better.
Well, it sounds like that's kind of what you coach us on doing, right?
Yeah.
Is having that investigation, making sure that your customer feels valued and that you're understanding what their true needs are versus just going in and starting to rattle off the menu.
Right.
So let's kind of like switch gears and kind of dive into your superpower of around kind of coaching and doing all of the things that help people really realize their best potential.
Right.
One of the things that you talked about before, and I really love this, is that people you know, people want the view, mm-hmm. but they're not interested in the climb.
That's right.
And we know, I mean, I think listeners will know that they either did it themselves mm-hmm. or they know, you know, people like that. But kind of walk me through that and how you relate it to business and, yeah. in fact, to our industry.
So there's two elements to this. And so one is that people tend to measure themselves on their outcomes. And so they're basically saying, here's where I am and here's where I want to be. And I call it the endless pursuit of happiness, meaning that once they get to where they want to be, then they just want to go somewhere else again. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting that or doing mm-hmm. that. Here's the trick. Let's go back to that mountain analogy. So what we want to do is recognize it's not just the view when you get to the top of the mountain. It's the view as you're climbing.
Right, right.
And so if you're celebrating all the beautiful things on that journey to the top of the mountain, and then you get to the top and you realize this isn't the end of the journey because look at all the things that I can see now.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the key is getting people to celebrate the not just the gaps where they become successful, hit that number, whatever it is, but the gains, the things that they do consistently that contribute to the outcome, but literally transform who they become. So now they want it to be a top producer. They act as if they're one. And then through climbing and recognizing and celebrating the gains, so they get that outcome. So they actually say, I'm making top producer yeah. money. Now they're sitting back and going, it's just who I am.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. It's funny because selfish plug for The Amazing Race. Mm. But my wife and I watch the show all the time and we love it. Huge fans. But one of the things that we always think about or kind of joke around when we're watching the show is they're racing through all these amazing places, you know, and these that's amazing true. Countries. And we're like, could you, you know, would you almost finish the race and you were to some degree disappointed because you didn't have that time
right.
to really enjoy it, be in the moment because you're always, you know, you're just racing and racing
yes.
and the end goal is like, hey, I want to win the race.
Yes.
But did you get to enjoy all of the things that you did?
That's
I hope
great.
They do because one day we want to be on the show.
Oh yeah.
If anybody from the show is listening, you know, ideally we'd love to be on it. But I think that, yeah, I definitely see where you're saying there. How do we get people more focused on that though? Because it's one thing to kind of say it, but in working with you, and I know mm-hmm. you're not going to give all of your trade secrets okay. away, but how do you get them focused on enjoying that experience?
So it comes down to like, what do they need to do? How are they going to do it? But there's one other question that they don't answer all the time, the why. Why am I doing it? Mm-hmm. And that has to be a strong foundation. I think it was Les Brown I heard say this first. He said, if you know your why, you can do anyhow. And so a lot of times their internal motivation is what creates the momentum.
Okay.
If there's a big enough outcome or if they can celebrate the steps along the way, it keeps them on track. They have to be able to find the pluses in everything that they do, love what they do, love who they're serving. And when people say they don't, it's not true.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't like the results they're getting or they don't like the outcomes they're getting. But the good news is this. It's on them. They are in control of it. They can fix it.
Well, that's scary though. A lot of us, yes. when you're given the wheel mm-hmm. and everything is on you, mm-hmm. a lot of people don't want to step up to that and realize right. like, hey, I am kind of controlling this. It's usually someone else, some situation, the mm-hmm. industry, oh my gosh, rates, whatever it may be.
Right.
So in that, again, in that aspect, how do we get people to move in that direction to where you are comfortable like owning it?
Yeah. Well, the first thing they have to realize is that reasons don't bring results. So I could say it's this, it's this, and it's this. And those things do, let's be honest, those things do affect market. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, our mindset is, well, when things were great, look at what a success I am. Look how wonderful I am. And then when things are bad, it's the market.
Yeah.
If that's our disposition, that I'm great when things are great and I'm still great when things are bad, but that's why I'm not great, then we can't be consistent. We're going to end up being on that roller coaster. And roller coasters are fun. But if you ride it too many times, it's not a good experience.
Yeah. I don't like roller coasters.
But we create those.
Right.
And that's the thing is when we're conditioned to believe that the conditions of the market should change our routines, our relationship building, the things that we need to do consistently, because our mindset is things are worse than they were, they're going to get even worse because now we're not even doing what we did before when things were good. Keep doing the things that you did when things were good. Most people, a lot of people stop doing them. Be the exception, mm-hmm. not the rule. And not only will you get through if you follow through, but you'll be doing things other people aren't doing, and really, you're going to lead the pack coming out of it.
So I find that really interesting, and to kind of stay on that point, is when you're putting in the work and you know the things, And gosh, we've been in this business for a long time. So, mm-hmm. you know, all of the things, it's hard to get to do them. Like, you know, yep. that, you know, that you have to do them, yep. or you know that you want to, or your boss is telling you to.
Right.
And a lot of times I kind of liken it to, if you decide I want to be more fit or more active.
Yes.
You can, the shoes can be waiting for you to put them on. They can wait for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But again, clicking into that drive to now take that action, mm-hmm. when you're talking to, whether it's companies like ours or individuals, how are you kind of prepping them to make that mindset shift of, you know, it's there, but mm-hmm. now how do we get you to take the action?
Yeah. And so it actually starts off with them bookending their routine. So they have to have a good morning routine and they have to have a good evening routine. So I'll give you an example. A good morning routine is being grateful for the things that you have. It's writing down the 3 to 5 things that you're going to get covered mm-hmm. today. It's making sure you don't hit the snooze button 4, 5, 6 times. Believe it or not, it's even drinking a glass of water, because it's good for you in so many ways if you do that. It's having something inspirational to listen to while you're getting ready for the day. It's making sure you have peace within the home so that you don't leave thinking about what you right. left at home, which sometimes is hard to do because we might be stressed out. We got to calm that down. And then the evening routines are doing a highlight reel, you know, focusing on your breathing, spending some quality time with the people that you do this for. When you can bookend your day with a good evening and a morning routine. And oh, by the way, here's a thought for those who leave their phone on the side and want to hit that alarm off. Put your morning routine sheet of paper of the things you're going to do in the morning routine where that phone was. Put that phone in the bathroom, get up, shut that off, look at the list, and get that done. How you start your day is going to be really the precipice of what happens next and what happens next, what happens next. That's number one. Number two is their mindset throughout the day. Not so much like things are going to be positive, so things mm-hmm. are good. It's the commitment to the habits that get you to move forward. It's looking things, not that you have to do them, but that you want to do them. That this isn't happening to you, but this is happening for you. And as you're consistent throughout the day in micro steps, and one of the things we had talked about recently in the class was work 60 minutes, take 15 minutes off. Mm-hmm. That's a production strategy where if you just take that 15 minutes off every 60, you're clear coming your back ready yeah. to go. If you work all, and we put a cap on and we get a trophy, I work 4 straight hours, but were you productive? And that's yeah. the key. It's not how long you work. It's what you get done in the work that you do. And believe it or not, 15-minute intervals has shown to be very, very good at getting people more productive when they start over.
Yeah. You know, it's one of the things that I talk to my team about a lot. We've gotten into this comfort level mm-hmm. of working through lunch.
Yes.
Having your phone, having your laptop, all those different things. Mm-hmm. And why I see that a lot of times, you know, there are the things that we just have to get done. You're up on that time crunch.
Right.
But I do think if you don't step away, if you don't have that time for yourself, if you don't kind of get prepared for what's next,
right.
then you're always kind of running at a deficit, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah. So one of the things that I think that ties to that also, I know you kind of have your 30-second rule when yeah. it comes to bad news, negative situations, things like that.
Yeah.
And it, being respectful, I know that there are those situations out there that are going to take more than that 30
yes.
seconds. We know that.
That's
so we're talking about keeping this kind of in a general aspect here. But in that 30-second rule, can you talk on that a little bit mm-hmm. about how people are dealing with that negative in our industry, just mm-hmm. for example, and I'm sure you get these calls all the time. It's the rates, it's mm-hmm. inventory, it's all, right. I lost a customer, I lost a deal. Mm-hmm. And then that defines their day.
Right.
And it's, you know, I had a bad day.
Right.
There's 24 hours in a day.
That's right.
So yeah, tell us a little bit about that and hopefully yeah. we get people to buy into it.
So, you know, one of the fears of anybody that's working in a business like this, sales, whatever it is, they're always fearing rejection, right? And that rejection is based on what they believe other people think about them based on their level of perceptual success. But there's an old saying that, you know, we often worry about what people think of us mm-hmm. until one day we realize how seldom they do. So in essence, and this is as direct as I can say it, we're rejecting ourselves every day as a way to project our inability in the moment to know what to do about it. Yet, because they're trained, because they were doing it when it was good, they do know what to do about it. It's just harder, right? So if you're in a pool and you want to get from one side of the pool to the other and you get tired and you have to stop, are you going to stop or are you going to keep going? Because mm-hmm. you can only waddle water
right,
so
right.
long. You're going to go, you got to do what you got to do to get to the end. So those stops are okay, but the stop and complains are not okay. to sit there and say the market is different is okay. To say, how am I going to adapt to it is what's going to be the better choice. And most people won't, because if everybody is saying the same thing, singing the same song, and then we get to all revel in our significance of having that problem that it's not us.
Yeah. Yeah. And we definitely saw, you know, we see that at times to where it starts with the people in the industry. Mm-hmm. Then it starts with client, you know, mm-hmm. then you add on clients. And the next thing you know, it's in the media and right. that's what everybody's saying. And then next right. thing you know, it's like, oh my gosh, the industry's tanking, or this right. is happening, or you can't find a home, or whatever the challenges are. Yet we have the numbers to show that, you know, people are buying homes.
Yep.
Somebody out there is going to have their best month, their best year ever.
Absolutely.
It just kind of comes down to if it's going to be you or not.
And then people say, well, they were lucky. No, yeah. they weren't. They worked for
it. They're always lucky.
They showed up and acted yeah. as if the market wasn't this way. They know that it's this way or that way, but they said, I'm going to show up anyway. Like, it's a great opportunity out there. And that's key. So many times people, when it's not consistent, it's usually because they're not consistent. Mm-hmm. It really, and even if you're not making the money that you were as fast as you were, I bet you were excited when that was happening, right? But now that it's not, it's just a change of pace that we're not acknowledging has to do with the market. But when that happens, as long as we're staying consistent, we're still planting the seeds.
Right, right.
It doesn't always grow as fast as we want it to, but the seeds are there. When we walk away from the farm and there's nothing to plant, then we're really in trouble. If they don't like where it is when it's bad, wait 4 months when we live in the world that it's bad, then it gets real bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, it's almost like Game of Thrones when it's like winter is coming.
Yes. Yes.
It's like, you've got to get prepared for it. One of the other things that you mentioned before, and I like when you talk about this, is kind of like the two aspects that people, you know, are drive people. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I know one of them's fear, mm-hmm. Which I personally try and stay away from. I try mm-hmm. to not, you know, one of our mortgage bankers talks about all the time is not operating from that place of fear. So
right.
can I talk about that a little bit?
So yeah. So the two things that drive people are faith and fear, mm-hmm. right? So with fear, just to give you some acronyms, it's false evidence appearing real. It's made up a lot of times. Even if it's real, it's made up worse mm-hmm. than it is. Or failure expected, action required, which is more of a motivational one. Or do you okay. expect to fail? Great, take some action. You know it, you're expecting it. What can you do about it? But here's the key. This is where faith is on the other side of that. So faith and fear both require belief without proof. So even when you're afraid that you might get rejected, that you're gonna fail, that things aren't gonna work out your way, that is, there's no proof of that other than the circumstances are different and you have to respond to that and not react to it. Because remember what we said, how you react to what happens is right, more about you right. than it does what happened. So if they have the faith that if they just keep walking that path, that they're going to pay attention to the finances in that particular moment of their personal situation if they have to, that they know that they've done this before, they've been through this before, and they got through it. I guarantee you, when markets change, it's difficult sometimes in the beginning to accept, but I will guarantee you've also, for the people that are listening, have been through harder things than that.
Yeah.
And here you are. So, you know.
I like how the level comes up when you start talking about it. I can tell you're passionate and energetic about it. And I like also how a lot of times when we talk about faith, people are thinking from a religious standpoint.
Right.
And I think something equally as powerful as when you have that faith and belief in yourself,
yes.
in your abilities, in your family, you know, mm-hmm. your immediate core. But it's challenging, right? Mm-hmm. When you're saying, like you said, have that faith with, you know, I think how you said it, where, you know, it's not proven or it's not out
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
How do we keep people focused on that or build that to where you are? Cause it almost sounds like a very high level of confidence. And we know that that can be a challenge really in any business that you're in. So how are you keeping people at that level or helping them build those skills, almost like building up, like if you're in a fitness program,
right,
you have to keep
sure.
building up that marathon.
So we'll sometimes use what's called the what if question. And we'll say, okay, so here's the darkness of the circumstances. What if you do nothing about it? What's going to happen? And it's not going to be a positive answer. What if you did? What's going to happen? And so then sometimes they'll say, well, it's still going to be challenging and difficult because things are really hard right now. I said, okay, let's accept that premise. It's challenging and it's difficult and things are really hard right now. So what would you need to do to make it easier? Or are you going to leave? Are you going to just quit? No, I can't quit. Okay, so you can't quit, but it's harder, mm-hmm. but you're not doing anything. So anytime you're not doing anything because you're opposing the market by not doing anything because you think you're not going to get anything, you're in essence creating a self-fulfilling prophecy. So be the hero of your story in that moment and step up and say to yourself, look, if I'm going down with this ship, I'm going to be that last one on it, and I'm going to swim to shore when I get there. And to actually use that analogy, there was this scenario about a story about a guy named Cortez. And to make that very short, he was going to conquer some lands. Mm-hmm. And so they took these ships, and then they got where they were going, and he goes, okay, get out the rowboats. We're going to row. But before we go, it's getting dark, so bring some torches and stuff so they're ready. He goes, okay, what I want you to do before we go is I want you to throw those torches and burn the ships. And everybody's looking at him like, are you kidding me? Like, we're not going to burn the ships. How are we going to get home? Mm-hmm. And he said, if we get home, we're going on their ships, not ours. What is your burn the ships mentality when a situation like this happens to you? If you're going to burn on the ship and let it burn with you, that's one thing. But if you have this mindset, like whatever happens here, I'm all in going forward. Mm-hmm. That's the difference, is you don't give up. And so many people want to give up because they're more afraid of trying and it not working giving up by choice. But that isn't a choice. Like, ultimately, trying and it not working is a choice. Giving up is not a choice. It's just standing still so you don't have to make one. And at least you have that reason that you didn't get that result. Well, I stopped doing that. I left that. So great. What happens 5 years from now with that decision that was made? Now you try, you give your effort, you get through it a little. It's not ideal, but it's better and you made it. What happens 5 years now after that? Everything you do day in and day out gets put into your brain. And the science behind this is very simple. We have a fight or flight mechanism. And the fight or flight mechanism is to keep us out of danger. Generally speaking, where we go wrong as human beings is everything is danger to us now. Everything is danger.
Everything's a nightmare.
Everything's scary.
Yeah.
Before that was life or death. Mm-hmm. Now if someone says the wrong thing or does the wrong thing, or if the market changes, it's life or death. So it's how they're reacting to it. And the reality is they're allowing that natural instinct to survive be associated with things like how much did I make this month? Not is someone trying to kill me.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So, but they're trying to kill their career. And so what they have to realize is wherever they think they are that's bad, it's temporary. There's historical evidence throughout time that we've had recessions, we've had crashes, we've had bad markets, and people get through.
Definitely.
Get through if they want to, or they can get a job. But they'll complain about that too.
So you could have a whole segment and write numerous books on kind of the fight or flight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, it's when you put it that way, I think it makes so much sense because you do, when you look at, you know, where we have these responses, but then we start relating everything to, you know, to that situation.
Right.
I look at a lot of times when we use those words that, you know, kind of elevate and they start painting the picture that's negative in our mind. Mm-hmm. And then that's where we stay. So I know that you were talking about that recently as well. So tell us a little bit about, like, how are we conditioning our mind to, I guess we're conditioned one or two ways. One is in a way that's going to drive us to, you know, get our goals and be happy and fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And another way is going to be the exact opposite. So can you touch on that?
So basically, first of all, you got to know what you want and why you want it, right? Like we talked about before. So what has to happen is, and this will make it easy for people, just come up with a 3 to thrive every day. Mm-hmm. It's easy to remember, 3 to thrive. And I want to kind of parlay that too as—
That's 3 to thrive.
3 to thrive, just not, 3 things.
It's say that 3 times
3
fast
to thrive, 3 to thrive, right? Yeah, it is hard to say 3 times fast. So yeah, it's the 3 to thrive are just identifying your top 3 priorities and nailing those out. One of the things we do for coaching, for example, is we have like this 20-second rule. We call it 20 seconds to take off. So you know you want to do something, you're procrastinating, right? And by the way, procrastination is a choose response. It's not something that happens to you. It's not a condition. And so 20 seconds to take off is just start doing it for 20 seconds.
Okay.
So whether it was I need to cook something or I need to start making a call, just pick up the phone, dial for 20 seconds. And what happens is once you start creating a little momentum, then all of a sudden you get a little more motivated. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people, they don't want to pick up the phone. Like, what if I make a call and it's a voicemail? What if I make that call and they reject what I have to say? Well, they're not going to reject what you have to say unless you're asking them for something.
Right, right.
And why are you asking them for something when you should be building that relationship and then you don't have to ask? It becomes natural as you build that relationship because people like to work with those they know they can trust. But they have to look at the situation and say, okay, what are at least 3 things that I can do today that are going to help me with my productivity, help me stay on track, be consistent? If you start with micro successes and celebrate them, they'll grow into 5 things, 6 things, 8 things during the day. But they have to build a repetition of having some small achievable successes and then it can grow from there. It could be medium, it could be large, it could be 10 things versus the 3. But if you try to have this whole list of things you have to do and it's all in your mind, you'll say, I'm overwhelmed.
You never get to it.
And remember, we had said this before, overwhelm is not having too much to do. It's not knowing what your most important things to do are because you didn't prioritize. And that's important for people. And rejection is not rejection, it's projection. And people, what does that mean? No one's rejecting you. You're projecting an aura of rejection and they're rejecting you. Now, there are some people that will, but most don't. Not at that level that we think. So you have to project confidence. You have to project value. You have to project that you know what you're doing, that you're going to help solve their problem, and you're not going to get rejected.
Right, right. And then, and it's all a cycle. And yes. Sometimes a vicious cycle, right? When you said the part about being overwhelmed, back to kind of like the mind speech, and what you're telling yourself, if I'm always saying I'm overwhelmed, what am I going to be? I'm going to be overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed with overwhelm.
Exactly, for sure. Exactly. Yeah. Well, this has been great. And I do think that one of the things that you said that, well, you've said a number of things that stick with me, but one of the things that you mentioned was, be the hero of your story.
Yeah.
So that's a great way to put it, to put this all into perspective.
Yeah.
And I think regardless of the field that you're in or, the job that you're doing, having that why and trying to define that. But then also, if that's difficult, just knowing that you want to be the hero in your own story, I want to kind of close out with that. So can you go a little bit deeper on that?
Yeah. So I'll tell you, when I was younger, I was really, really driven that if I don't make a lot of money, I'm not successful. And I'm in my 20s at that point. What do we know then, right?
Yeah.
And so I had a friend of mine that was a professor. I was actually teaching at one of the universities in an adult education program on organizational management. And I saw him. He was a psychologist. And I said, hey, I have this problem. And I feel like if I'm not working all the time and I'm not making all this money, then I'm not successful. But at the same time, I really like adding value to people. And I like helping them. And I like being there for them and providing great service of the things that I do. He goes, oh, you have Superman complex. I said, what's Superman complex? He goes, it's when you have superpowers where you're the hero of your own story, but in order to appease other people around you, you stay Clark Kent. Mm. And I said, well, why would I do that? He goes, because that's what you think others expect of you. What do you expect of you? And oh, by the way, if you play the superhero, rather than meet their expectations, you can be an example for them on how to raise them.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
Changed my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
One conversation.
Well, it looks like it's gotten to a good place, and it would not be a Lending Forward episode if we did not ask you, how would you like to lend it forward?
Yeah. Well, I think the big thing for me is in my daily actions. Yes, as a coach, as a trainer, I do what I do. And I would propose this for everybody out there. Acts of kindness. I hold doors for people. I was just telling them the other day, I hold doors. People got a big box, they're coming to the UPS store, I hold the door. If I was in line, I had a whole bunch of stuff for the grocery line. And this guy comes back behind me, he's got two things. I'm like, go ahead of me.
Yeah.
I know that sounds, and I bought, and here's the one
that
I always
joke about.
That
never happens.
Right, right.
It never happens to me, by the way.
And here's the one I joke about. I literally, the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, like they're always selling stuff. So I go, how much for that bag of popcorn? They're like $20. I'm like, $20 for a popcorn. But I bought it. You know why? The look on that kid's face when he made a sale. At any age, we can light up some other person's life just by being kind, by nice, by being gratuitous.
Definitely.
By being generous. And by the way, we become better people when that's part of our habit too. And you don't fear rejection when you've given so much sunshine to people in the world.
Fantastic. Now, how does our audience find out more about Dennis Giannotti and all the great things you're doing?
Yeah, you could just go to progress.pro. You can email me at dennis@progresspartners.pro, and that's the easiest way to probably do it.
Fantastic. Yeah. We definitely have enjoyed being, having you here and working with you, and hopefully our reunions don't have to have 2 years in between them
going forward. Not, yeah.
And we can get you back here again, but I appreciate you being on today.
It's my pleasure. Let me tell you, this company is awesome, and why do I say that? I literally leave happier than when I got here.
Awesome.
Always. Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram @LendingForward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.